Now from Hollywood, Romance. Perhaps you remember Heatherstone, the great country house that never existed. Perhaps you remember, too, the highly fictitious Charles and Fanny who live at Heatherstone. And Bunny, the equally fictional perennial house guest. If you do remember them, you may enjoy meeting them again. If you never met them before, we hope you'll join us now in this new play. Now with John Daner as Bunny, we bring you transcribed Kathleen Height's delightful story, Heatherstone Revisited.
It was Charles who suggested it. I distinctly recall his words last time when I trod the Fair Oaks Road from the station to Heatherstone. He said to me, "Bunny, try Mill Pond next time. A bit longer, but the scenery is first rate." I told him I'd remember, and indeed I did. I suppose that was my big mistake, remembering Charles' words to the letter that way. A bit longer, indeed. The Mill Pond Road is at least twice as long as Fair Oaks. Man has to keep his wits about him to find Heatherstone at all. But the devil is Heatherstone. I can't seem to find it all this brush. Hey, oh, I say, Charles!
Lost off target completely. Can't expect to qualify for the Royal Tox with shots like that.
Charles, are you still armed?
I wish I'd stop hearing voices.
The bow and arrow, Charles. Will you please put them aside?
Not the Joan of Arc sort, rarely, hearing voices, that sort of thing. Next thing you know, I'll be seeing things.
Perhaps I should have written in advance of my visit, Charles, but you see, it all came up rather suddenly, and I knew that you...
Stand back!
I say, I do wish you'd put up your weapons, Charles.
If it's a vision, it'll vanish in time, bad enough to hear voices, but seeing wild apparitions defies a man's strength, moral fiber.
Charles, it's Bunny.
Can't be.
But it is. See? There's no cause for alarm. I'm no wild apparition, as you put it.
Highly debatable point.
I'm delighted to see you again, Charles.
Oh, dare say. Don't suppose you ran across a wild pig in the thicket hereabouts?
I can't say I did.
Odd. Missed him with my arrow, you know. Might have grazed him a bit about the head, nothing more. Made straight for the thicket.
I'm afraid I missed him.
Mammoth creature, you know. Big. Tall as you are, Bunny.
Not as straight, I dare say. Always stand erect, you know. Gives a man a bearing, don't you think?
I don't understand it. Wild pigs don't just go off and thither, you know. Standing on his hind legs, tall as you are. Made straight for the thicket.
As long as you've brought up the thicket, Charles, I don't think you should go about letting fly with your arrow willy-nilly.
That's so?
Quite. I'd not taken two steps into the clearing until this winged thing flew past my head.
That close,
well, it might have grazed me a bit about the head. I made straight for the thicket.
Bit thick in the thicket, eh?
Ever so.
Suppose you were standing on your hind legs?
Oh, yes. It's my practice.
Think we've hit on it, old boy.
Glad to see you in such good humor, Charles.
Mistook you for a wild pig, you know.
I'll forgive you now that you admit your mistake.
Not a bit of it. Not rarely mistaken, you know. You and a wild pig. Both a couple of bloody boars.
Such are the friendships a man cherishes. Charles and his dear wife, Fanny. I knew so well that she'd be as enchanted to see me again as Charles was. Oh, every bit. And though they never put it into words exactly, I knew by their every look and deed that they meant me to consider Heatherstone as my home.
Wretched shock, seeing you again so soon, Bunny.
Thank you, dear Fanny.
I'm simply sick you're here.
All thanks to your generous hospitality, Fanny.
Afraid you can put the full blame on me this time, old girl. Wasn't on target, so to speak, when I pulled the bowstring.
You missed him.
Worst sort of a shot.
Oh, Charles.
Not a bit of it, Fanny. Frightfully close. Might have grazed me a bit about the head. I made straight for the thicket.
Not sporting of you, Bunny. Charles isn't used to moving targets.
Point there. Thanks, old girl.
Not at all.
Oh, claims he took me for a wild pig.
Ordinary sort of mistake.
Not rarely mistaken, you know. Bunny and a wild pig. Both a couple of bloody boars.
Well, there, Charles. Don't go on about it.
That's a first-rate sort of joke. All mine, too. I made it up myself. Eh, Bunny?
I'm proud to say you did, Charles. Proud to say I heard it the first time round.
How is it you're here, Bunny?
Well, no thanks to Charles, I'll tell you. Came the Mill Pond Road at his suggestion.
A bit longer, but the scenery is first rate.
I have the distinct memory, as if it were only last night's nightmare, that you were with us not 2 months ago, Bunny.
I, too, have counted the days until we'd meet again, dear Fanny.
But you only come to us once a year. And then, not by invitation, you may be sure.
The warmth of your welcome is all the invitation I need.
Apparently. But twice in 2 months' time. I say, I call that a bit thick.
How'd you manage on the Mill Pond Road, Bunner?
Awfully. It's twice as long as Fair Oaks.
All of that.
A man has to keep his wits about him to find Heatherstone at all.
Precisely.
It's nothing more than a footpath, you know, dare say, with the thicket and all. I was on my all fours a good half the journey.
On your hind legs, you're the picture of a wild boar.
So it is. So it is, Charles. Only there's nothing really wild about Bunny, is there?
I say.
Easy on, old girl. That's my joke.
I suppose it is. I say, Bunny, how is it you're not with the Carstairs?
Good question. They went there, you know, from here the last time. Found they'd gone off somewhere.
Did you try the Bliss Wickliffe?
Indeed. Made straight for them from the Carstairs. Found they'd gone off somewhere.
Surely you checked the Darringtons.
Made straight for them from the Bliss Wickliffe's.
And?
Found they'd gone off somewhere.
I'm beginning to sense a trend.
My thought precisely. But I shan't say I was daunted by this, shall we say, general exodus. Rather, head high, I made straight for the Lindsay's.
Yes?
You found they'd gone off somewhere.
Charles?
Well, out with it, old girl.
Let's go off somewhere.
A little bit late for that, dare say you tag along, eh, Bunny?
Oh, how very thoughtful of you to invite me, dear Charles.
Oh, afraid we're trapped, old girl.
Pity. I see.
Of course, I do need working on moving targets. If he stays about, I could get some first-rate practice.
I do think this might be a solution, Charles.
Mind putting an apple on your head, Bunny?
Don't see any fruit about.
I've thought it over carefully, and I must say it's a capital idea, Charles.
Well, there's fruit about if you're willing, Bunny.
It's properly clean and all. I'd have no objection to putting an apple on my head, but what on earth for?
Boyhood urge, you might say. Stayed with me through the years, you know. They'll say you're familiar with the story of William Tell.
Oh, what blue-blooded boy isn't? I say, Charles, you mean to shoot the apple from my head?
I mean to try.
And in case it doesn't work, let me know, Charles. I've a capital idea myself.
I can't deny they'd piqued my interest with their little schemes. Dear Charles and Fanny. Always the perfect hostess. But now, in this moment, I sense that Charles and Fanny wanted to discuss their capital ideas for my entertainment. So I excused myself and walked about the grounds, even as far as the cottage where Celia and Bertie live now. By an odd coincidence, found they'd gone off somewhere.
How was that, old girl?
Depends. Are you still aiming at the apple on the inverted fruit bowl?
Certainly. Fruit bowls remarkably like Bunny's head.
Bad shot, then. Broke the bisque figurine on the opposite wall.
Guess the old eye's going, then. May as well turn in the old bow and arrow.
Oh, don't despair, Charles. Have another go at it.
Kind of you, Fanny, encouraging me this way.
Thank you. And do have another bad shot, will you?
How's that?
The companion piece to the bisque figurine on the opposite wall. It's no good to me alone.
Oh, I suppose not. Do you think I should aim at it?
Naturally not. The apple on the inverted fruit bowl.
Very well. Ready, old girl?
Positively thumping with anticipation.
Here we go.
By Jove, Charles, bullseye. You split the apple.
So I see. Well, may as well turn in the old bow and arrow.
How's that?
I went against you. Aimed at the companion piece to the bisque figurine on the opposite wall.
Oh, Charles. How really very disappointing.
You won't let the news get about, will you, old girl?
And bear your shame. No, thank you.
Good girl.
There, Charles. This is no time for sentiment.
I'm sorry, lost my head.
Now then, we'll have to abandon any scheme for doing Bunny in with the bow and arrow. Agreed?
Agreed, alas.
I have a capital idea myself. Seems obvious Bunny's run his course with the rest of the crowd.
The Darringtons, the Blisswickliffs, the Carstairs, the Lindsleys, and, well, they've all run for cover.
It appears we're all he has left. Charles, I don't mean to live out my years with you and Bunny.
Can't say I blame you. You've got a scheme, Fanner?
Elspeth.
Elspeth? You don't mean the Dowager Marchioness of Quince?
I do. I mean for Elspeth and Bunny to meet and marry. She's really quite wealthy, you know, and often collects odd bits of things.
Fiendish sort of woman. Can't stand her, you know. Perfect for Bunny.
Precisely.
Very well, then. I shan't really abandon my bow and arrow. Ho, ho, ho. Might have to play Cupid myself.
We will return to romance and our story, Heatherstone Revisited, in just a moment. Selected hospitals where modern intensive treatment of the mentally ill is possible cure up to 85% of their patients. State hospitals, overcrowded and understaffed, cure only up to 45%. This is a situation begging for improvement, especially since 90% of the mentally ill are treated in state hospitals. Let's give now, generously, to make possible speedy expansion of hospital facilities where intensive treatment will make the difference to new thousands. Give to Mental Health, care of your post office. That's Mental Health, care of your post office. And now for the second act of Romance.
Perhaps a less sensitive soul than I would have let it all slip by unnoticed. But the next few days were filled with mystery and intrigue to this trained eye. Clearly, Fanny and Charles were planning a gala affair in my honor. And I had no real right to count on it, of course. But I shouldn't have been surprised if the royal coach found its way there from Buckingham. Oh, there, dear friends, Charles and Fanny, with gentle, delicate instincts.
Oh, this way, Bunny. Come along.
I say, Charles, you're not still armed with that frightful bow and arrow.
The arrow shan't leave the quiver, on my word, unless it becomes necessary to flush the game from the bush.
I've thought it over about the apple on my head. In fact, I've taken care to recall the entire William Tell incident. I can't say the idea appeals to me.
May not be necessary. I shouldn't panic if I were you.
It gives a chap an uneasy feeling, you know. Forgive me, Charles, but the thought has crossed my mind that I'm beginning to pall on you and Fanny.
Yes, you are.
Good of you to reassure me. Where are we going, Charles?
To the slaughter, so to speak. Well, in you go, Bunner.
That's not good form. Buffeting a chap about this way plays havoc with a chap's sense of security. I say, Charles, we are not alone.
Isn't he great, Fanny? Wherever did you find him?
Extraordinary things happen when you don't go looking for them, Elspeth. Actually, he found us.
Something of a shock, you know. Not at all what I had in mind.
Dare say his mother felt much the same way. Charles, dear, make proper introductions all round.
Oh, very well. Elspeth, meet Bunny. Bunny, the Dowager Marchioness of Quince. Old fruit, you might say.
All right. Get on with it, Charles.
I thought we might have a good laugh at a time. Very well, very well. Elspeth's quite wealthy, Bunny. Fiendish sort of woman. Can't abide her myself, personally. Perfect for you, old man. Fanny and I mean for you to marry.
That's so.
Superbly subtle, Charles.
Immense.
Thank you.
Come here, dear boy. Sit by me.
You say she's quite wealthy, Charles?
In court circles, she's known as the Chancellor of the Exchequer.
It's this Or that ugly business about an apple on my head?
Precisely.
Ruddy, poor alternatives, what?
Come along, Charles. We've set off the fuses, so to speak. I can't say I savor the idea of being around for the explosion.
Nor I. Horrible sight. Old fruit like Elspeth going, coquettish.
I say, Charles, Fanny.
I warn you, Bunny. My quiver is quivering.
Oh, so it is.
Good hunting, old chap.
Quite.
We shan't bolt the door, unless you insist.
Bolt it, Fanny.
I say.
Agreed, then. Come here, you.
I think not.
I say, you're a shy one. But you needn't be with me, you know. At my age, there's no time to be shy.
Oh, see here, old girl. Release me.
I think not.
Very well. But at this close range, I shall feel obliged to call you Elspeth.
My dear boy, you don't have to call me anything. I'm right here, you know.
Yes, so you are.
How is it we've not met before, Bunny?
I'm a bit of a will-o'-the-wisp, you know. Move about. All the best circles.
Awfully dull, aren't they? Best circles.
I shouldn't say that. I've known any number of lively times with them.
Glad you agree with me. Seems we've an uncommon lot in common, what?
I think not.
Exactly. We'll marry, you know.
I do so hope not, Elspeth.
I've not been married in some time. It's most awfully diverting marriage, don't you think?
Can't say, really. I never had a go at it.
Bunny, dear, I'm flattered. You've never been married, yet you insist on marrying me.
Not a bit of it. Don't insist at all. As a matter of fact, I find the idea entirely most appalling.
Utterly. I'll arrange things with the vicar tomorrow.
I shouldn't bother about it if I were you.
We'll marry on Sunday, immediate following the rugby match.
I say, rugby.
Do you play?
No. Indeed. Frightfully rough go, rugby. Big chaps, you know. Dare say it's too most awfully physical for me.
You'd not last through the first scrum.
But I do so love to be on hand. Bolster the team along a bit, you know. Come along, varsity.
Good spirit, Bunny, means everything to the team.
You speak as if you know that firsthand, old girl.
My dear boy, you are looking at the left side, 5/8 back of the Worcestershire County Worcester.
By Jove! Well, I must say, you've got the build for it. 5/8 back, you say?
We Worcesters play New Zealand rules.
Oh, bully. I say, I should love to watch you play.
Sunday, then. And we'll marry after. Immediate following the match.
Remarkable insight, Elspeth. It searched out my weakness right off and pounced upon it. I do so love a good rugby match. As a spectator, understand. Preferably from the vantage point under a stout umbrella. Not one much for the sun, you know. Never have held much with a little coat about mad dogs and Englishmen. So it was that Sunday afternoon I found myself at the rugby match. So it was indeed. I was dragged there bodily by a determined Fanny and the constant threat from Charles about his bloody bow and arrow.
Come along, varsity!
Stay with the home squad, Fanny. I mean to have some straight talk with Bunny.
Do let's find a cool spot then, Charles.
Straight away, old chap.
Yes.
There's a spate of shade just to the lee of the grandstand.
Very well.
That's the way, varsity! Good try!
Old girl loves the rough go, doesn't she?
Seems to. About the shade, Charles, I'm beginning to grow faint.
Well, come along with you. Perfectly normal reaction, you know. Growing faint, seeking shade. All part of a bridegroom's lot.
Dare say.
I mean to have some straight talk with you, Bunny.
I'd much rather have a cool drink. Or some ices, perhaps. I say, old man, I may not last, you know.
Trouble is, you will. Now then, I've been married an interminable length of time, you know. But not you, Bunny. You're a rank novice at this sort of thing.
Rank.
Quite. Never had a son, you know. Don't quite know how to go about this straight talk, as it were.
No matter. I prefer not listening to you, Charles. You've a way of going on. And I do feel faint, you know.
Well, I suppose the easiest examples are the birds and the bees. I've heard that was a good way to go about this straight talk, as it were.
What about birds and the bees, Charles?
Oh, by Jove, excellent question. Can't answer it.
Good. Glad I asked.
Must be some sort of answer. Never heard one, did you, about the birds and the bees?
Never cared much one way or the other about them.
Well, good to have it all out in the open. Knew you'd want to talk it over with someone.
Naturally.
Happy to oblige. Who makes a man feel good inside straight talk like that, what?
First rate.
Any questions?
No. Go. Unless you could direct me to a cool drink. Or some ices, perhaps.
I haven't seen any about. Well, be going along then. I'll send Elspeth over here to you directly after the match.
Don't bother.
Glad to.
How about a kiss for the old girl, Bunny? Played a jolly good game.
I think not.
It's immediate after the match. Bunny will marry now.
Release me, Elspeth.
I think not.
Very well. I say, you don't happen to have a cool drink? Or some ices, perhaps, on your person?
Sorry. Must say, you look dreadful, Bunny.
You're an outrageous sight yourself, old girl.
Isn't it marvelous, Bunny? We're so in tune. So deucedly well matched.
Don't agree at all. Think the entire idea is utterly preposterous. Not to say appalling.
We'll marry as soon as I've had my shower.
Elizabeth, I insist that you release me.
Have to. Going to shower.
Thank you. But I speak of a further release.
How's that?
Understand, old girl. You're not without a certain amount of charm. And there's no wealth I'd rather share than that of the Duchy of Queens.
Oh, reminds me, Bunny. The vicar will have a bit of paper for you to sign. Releases you from any claim at all on my money.
You've a good head on your shoulders, Elspeth. I don't think you've got it on straight, but a good head, nevertheless.
Flattery, flattery, dear Bunny. When will it cease?
Now.
Immediate.
Precisely.
You don't mean to marry me?
Never did.
Oh. Well, then I shall shower anyway.
Good girl. Not angry.
Not a bit of it. Shake hands.
Ever so gently now, old girl. There now, leave the fingers intact.
What will you do now, Bunny, not marrying me and all that?
I will fulfill my destiny, Elspeth. Live out my years in peace and gentility with my dear friends, Charles and Fanny.
Oh, blast!
I say, Charles, old man, you must go in for more practice. You missed me again.
Romance is produced and directed by Norman McDonald with editorial supervision by Het Mannheim. You've heard Heatherstone Revisited, specially written for Romance by Kathleen Height, starring John Daner as Bunny. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Vivi Janis, and Lois Corbett. This is George Walsh inviting you to hear Romance transcribed next week at this same time. It's exclusive. It's later today. It's CBS Radio's coverage of the Preakness, the second big race in this season's Triple Crown series in the sport of kings. The same great on-the-spot team that brought you the exclusive coverage of this year's Kentucky Derby will be at it again on most of these same stations. Don't miss the color, the excitement, and the winner. Here's the Preakness, later today, exclusive at the Star's address.